Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
It's true.
Yeah.
I am here. You can hear the guys gabbing in the background. You're listening to Waking Up in America, dynamic radio dialogues on issues that matter. In our 21st year of radio, we're actually inviting angels and sponsors to bring us into your neighborhood. Any ideas, want to get a hold of a guest or staff member, call us at our new toll-free number of 866-604-9966. You have to pipe down, Ed. Okay, and you can send emails at any time during the show to Val at wakingupinamerica.com. And to get things started off right, let's remember what our forefathers offered us. And it's called the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'm not talking about pledging allegiance to the current administration or the current ideas. I'm talking about pledging allegiance to the ideas and the thoughts and feelings that were the creation of this country. So place your hand over your heart. And I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And that brings us into today's topic about bringing our guys home from Korea. Every time I say that, somebody starts talking to me about Vietnam. I know that they really have a hard time hearing that there's actually war prisoners from Korean War. We're talking 1950 to 1953 now. I'm Dr. Valerie Kirkgaard, and in 1984, I carried the Olympic torch. And once the torch has been ignited, you can never put it down. And today I'm holding the torch for these vets. And today I invite you to light your torch and join the standards held forth by all bearers of this 2,000-year-old flame, which is Citius Altius Fortius. Stronger, higher, that's what we're about, and swifter. Our guests reflect these values and come from all fields, from internationally known nutritionist J.J. Virgin to taekwondo champion Mary Louise Zeller to that lovable curmudgeon Ed Asner and to the very solar Mr. Larry Hagman. Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network says we're doing radio which will change the world. Help us make that true by letting your friends know about us. They can go to our website at wakingupinamerica.com, and if you hop right over there right now, you'll actually be able to click in on the website, and voila, you'll be joining us on the radio. Now, if you want to send an email, once again, that's Val at wakingupinamerica.com, and I will actually, if time permits, I will read your email on the air to the gentleman here. Now, if you hear a telephone ringing, a dog barking, or an angel singing, that could be Patty Egan. She's our resident angel today. We call in from our homes and offices all over the world to cause this program. So my little rant today is, how can the government, who says they're so busy trying to remember us and take care of us, how can this government have let? It's not even just the Korean War. Bob Dumas, your brother is in Korea. Roger, right? Roger's
correct.
In Korea?
Correct.
And Ed, you're into this after a radio show with Bob here. But doesn't it kind of blow your mind that not only do we still have people there from the Korean War, but also the Moroccan War and probably quite a few others?
Wait a minute. We've got people where from the Iraq War?
No. I think you meant there are prisoners of war that were released from Algeria 2 years ago.
Yeah.
400 prisoners, which were Moroccan
prisoners. For 25 years they had been held.
Moroccan prisoners.
Yeah, 2,500. So this is happening all over the place, Ed.
Yeah.
This isn't just Korean War, which is shocking to me. I mean, my God, these guys have been there 55 years against their will.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
So what got you really going? Because you're the one that had me call Bob. What was the thing that really got you going? Were you just fed up with it, or?
I was fed up with it. The case that Bob presents is so thorough. The rejection that he has encountered in official Washington and by people who aren't official yet but wish to become official, they all are they're robots. robots in terms of not being affected, not being able to pursue human decency in talking about these forgotten people.
You know, I wish Eddie Albert was around because he sure would have helped.
Yeah, he was a big help. He was a great man.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad Eddie's still around.
No, Eddie actually passed about 3 years ago now. Three or 4 years ago. But we would have conversations about him going back and talking to the War Department. And I used to clean his ears for him, and he told me that he had his ears way too clean on these subjects. So I was going through the documentation, and I don't know if you've read Bob's little packet or not, but I was, like, amazed that they've been talking vehemently about bringing back these vets since the 80s, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
So how do all these men get shoved aside for so many years? What's your opinion besides robots? I mean, there's got to be all these families.
There are always families who are out there with a tin cup in their hand, and they're given about as much attention as people with tin cups.
So, I mean, you know, you were talking a little bit before the show about wanting Mary Tyler Moore to do a PSA for the National Wildlife Federation. Was that it? Did I have that right?
No, Defenders of Wildlife.
Defenders of Wildlife. What about you do a PSA on this with Bob?
Fine. Who's going to finance it and who's going to air it?
Well, I used to do cable television, okay?
Yeah.
And on cable television, we had PSAs that people had sent us, and we would pick. I would play always PSAs on my TV show.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Also, I don't know if you know this or not, but the radio stations and the TV stations are actually mandated by government mandate that they have to do a certain amount of social service work.
Well, if you can get somebody with energy to engineer it all, I'd be glad to be a voice on it.
Okay, so you know what I'm thinking about, because I'm just making this up right now? I'm going to call up an old friend of mine over at the cable company, okay, and see if we can make a PSA over at the cable company.
All right.
And then circulate it, and we'll do it for Bob and for Bob's brother and for all of the... Bob, how many families do you think are still have POWs over there?
Oh, well, as far as the missing goes, it's 8,200, but as far as prisoners of war themselves go, around 3,400.
Well, I was wondering how... Now, some of those have surely died over the years.
Oh, yeah, we know that, yes.
How many do we think are actually left?
Right now, in North Korea, from what I was told by this businessman that was there last June and told the Pentagon about it when he came back, he says he saw 9 men to talk to. One of them was my brother. I don't know if I told Ed this, but one of them was my brother, and he told me everything about my brother that only I could know and my brother could know. No one else could know this. And he said it was about 200 where he was in that area.
Wow.
In the mining area of North Korea. He gave me the name of the mining area. I don't have it in front of me, but he gave me the name, and the Pentagon told me where the area is. They already know where it is.
So, sounds to me like we need to get Batman.
We got to get somebody to get the publicity out there because the American people don't really know what the hell is going on.
What is the most recent Batman movie? Did you see it? The one where he goes to China?
No.
Oh, it's a very good. You should see it. What is it, The Black Knight?
I don't know. Maybe Eddie knows more about it.
Oh, The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight. Did you see The Dark Knight?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I hated it.
You hated it? Didn't you like the part, though, where he goes over and he takes the Chinese and brings them home?
Yeah, I never saw that.
That's what I was thinking.
Excuse me, I have a cold of nature. Can I come right back?
Okay.
Thank you.
I told you this would be a memorable interview.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've done that before with him a couple of years ago.
Okay, so when you were talking earlier,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking earlier, and I was talking about the meeting in 1992 and with John McCain and John Kerry.
Right.
Would you let our listeners know what that meeting was about and what happened?
That meeting took place on Korea. I'm talking about Korea now because they had a whole year on Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
But for one day on Korea, there was so much evidence before that committee that John McCain got so upset with John Kerry that they couldn't wait to close those hearings down.
Now, why was John McCain upset with John Kerry?
Well, he was upset because the last meeting they had on November the 12th, the attorney from Virginia, Mr. McCleary, was sitting in on this meeting when John McCain came in, all upset. And he said to John Kerry, he says, John, did you destroy all the records on these live men that we talked about? And John Kerry says, John, don't worry about it. Everything's been shredded. Now, that's on a three-page report that I sent.
Now, why would he shred this information?
Because he didn't want anything coming out about the prisoners of war that were still being held in Vietnam, Laos, North Korea, China, and the Soviet Union.
And how would that damage John Kerry or what John Kerry believed in?
Well, for one thing, John McCain went to the State Department 2 years ago with Condoleezza Rice and brokered a deal to get these Moroccan prisoners of war out of Algeria, and we sent two C-30s transport planes to pick them up with doctors and nurses and brought them back to Morocco.
Right.
And I'm saying, if you can do all this for prisoners of war from foreign countries,
yeah,
we can't even talk about our own.
I know. So why didn't why hasn't John McCain gotten interested?
Well, because the reason for that being was they wanted to close the hearings down when all this evidence came out on live men in North Korea, because at that time they were getting ready to try to open up trade agreements with Vietnam. And then as soon as the hearings were closed down, they went to President Clinton and asked him to open trade with the Vietnamese government, which they did. They opened it in 1995, I believe it was, trade with Vietnam. But they had to get the prisoner of war issue out of the way. They knew that we've never negotiated for one prisoner of war in the history of our country. So why start now? Or why start then? They had closed it down all those years, so why even bother?
Well, didn't we get back prisoners from Vietnam?
Yeah, that was 1972. But
right, so why didn't we get the Korean if we got the Vietnamese?
Because they closed the hearings down. They didn't want anybody back after 1972.
And why didn't we want them back? Because they were an embarrassment or something?
They were an embarrassment to this country. Why are you going to bring somebody back after 30 years or 40 or 50 years and let them tell you a story like, why did you leave me there? What would that do? Wouldn't that upset somebody in the country, especially the family?
You know what I think would be a really good idea? I think it would be a really good idea if you take this tape and you find out who all the press are, and you send a copy of this where you can get it excerpted.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Well, we have a documentary called Missing Presumed Dead that was made 2 years ago by my nephew in California. Eddie has a copy of it. Ed Asner has a copy. Eddie saw it already. Eddie saw the copy already. Missing Presumed Dead, it's called. And it tells this whole story about John McCain, John Kerry, and the prisoners that never came out of Vietnam, Korea, and Laos, and China, and the Soviet Union. That was out now for about 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. But we can't get it to where we can get it on a major network.
No, it's not probably going to happen that way right now. I think what's going to happen is if you circulate this information in really concise form.
Yeah.
I know a couple of newsmen. Jeff Grilley is one of them. Really powerful dude. That what you'll find out is that somebody will pick it up.
I would hope so.
But I bet you Ed knows some people, too.
Yeah, but what happened is I just finished with a Catholic priest from Indiana, retired Catholic priest author, who just did my life story in a manuscript form, which is in now. And we just finished it 2 weeks ago, and he's teaching theology now today in Trinidad, so I haven't talked to him in about a week from now. But we just finished it 2 weeks ago, and it's powerful because it's true. There is no fiction involved. But it's controversial, which is going to be a hard time to get it published, because of being controversial, and it includes a lot of politicians that don't want to hear this coming out.
No, I totally hear you. We're actually on the air with Bob Dumas and, well, almost on the air with Ed Asner.
Almost.
And what we want to do at this time is actually acknowledge the good guys that back Waking Up in America, and we want to back them back. Stardoves, a great mail order company. 200,000 strong of people that look forward to receiving Stardove mailings. And if you call 826-665-0411, that's 826-665-0411, and you ask for Raw, this guy will give you advertising advantages that you won't believe. Tell him that you heard about it on Waking Up in America, because if you buy a certain program of his, you can get your mailings to 200,000 people for about $50. And I think that's just an outrageous steal these days. And then if you got some good lines, you get a lot of people opening them. That title line on your email, it's really important that you have one that hooks people. So once again, that's Stardoves at 826-665-0411. 1-1. And just watch the dollars come in, because the email list, there are a bunch of people that you'll like a lot. Now, you've heard me talk from time to time about running away. Well, when I run away, because I just get crazy here, I run down to Puerto Vallarta, usually by Air Alaska, and then I hop up the coast and I go to this wonderful little town called San Pancho or San Francisco Nayarit. It's right on the beach. And so is Roberto's Bungalows. It's about two blocks back from the beach, maybe three short blocks. Steve and Diana that run Roberto's Bungalows have these little kitchenettes, and there's nice little bedrooms and a swimming pool, and that's a wonderful courtyard, and it's very lush. Steve is a master gardener, and Diana is she's just an amazing hostess. And you'll find it very happy down there, and you just tell them that you came from Waking Up in America and that you like that discount. And the
time.
I'm back,
and I feel much better.
I'm so glad. Let me finish giving the plugs here, and then we'll be right back to you, Cutie.
All right.
971-239-4120. That's 971-239-4120. Go bask on the beach in Mexico. This place is stunning. It is just stunning. Want to find out more about that little acai drink? You call me at 310-455-8623, and you ask me, because I'll be happy to tell you. No kidding. 310-455-8623. Monavie's that drink that you've been hearing about all over the place. I'll even give you a website to go to that'll just make you salivate with possibility. Right after this break, we're going to be discussing further information on the POWs that are happening here. And Bob was just telling us about the 1992 meeting in which Kerry was supposed to shred all of the documents that have to do with the prisoners of war in Korea. And John McCain, as recapping here, managed to get the Moroccans back. So maybe, you know, let's put together everybody we've got and send them over here to do some negotiation. How do we put a fire under their butts? Ed, do you have any idea?
I wish I knew. I recognize the fact that government works, that the lives are cheap. And evidently the lives of those prisoners were cheap for many people in our government, because they were looking at the bigger picture, finding either means to steal a march on North Korea or means to have rapprochement with North Korea. And in doing so, these poor victims are constantly shunted aside. This is supposed to be America. You gave that Pledge of Allegiance earlier. And if we were to live up to that Pledge of Allegiance and implied its unitedness, we would go to any length in the world. I believe the Marines have a code. I think the Israelis do, too. You know, leave no man behind.
Exactly. They do. You're right.
And I think it's about time our national government began paying attention to as many victims as died in 9/11.
All right, totally.
That's very, very good.
It gave me chills when you said that. Of course, don't get me going on 9/11.
Yeah, don't get me going.
Because I really don't think 9/11 was real. I think the deaths were real, but I think what we've been told is total, what do you call it, black flag? Is that the right word for it?
Poppycock is another good word.
Yeah, that's another word. The other one, I guess it's, we're on the Internet, so, well, we don't want to say something that could be played on a land station, so it couldn't be played. But it's baloney, what we've been told. In fact, Bob and I were discussing that before the show, Ed. We're talking about, you know, how buildings don't fall at that rate and things of that nature. So there's deception everywhere. So how do we find, what would it take? Do we need John McCain to go do it? What's it going to take? Eddie Albert would have been a person to do it, but he's not around anymore.
And John McCain has already rejected Bob, as I recall.
Yes, very much so, 100%. He walked away from us.
And what did he say as he walked away?
He didn't say anything. He just turned around and walked away. He doesn't want to talk about the issue. There's 5 million. You know what a POW flag is, a black and white flag?
Yeah.
It says you are not forgotten at the bottom of it?
Yeah.
Well, we have 5 million of those flying all over this country, private homes, state capitals, the Washington Capitol, and there's 5 million of them. He refuses to talk about the flag, the POW flag. Why? He's a former prisoner of war.
I know. That's why I think he would have been real receptive.
No, because he doesn't want anybody to look at his background as a prisoner of war.
Why?
That's why he had everything classified. He had everything classified. Newsmen have asked him already, and he refused it. He says it's classified. It's nobody's business but mine, and it's nobody's business but the prisoners that were in Vietnam. I think he's wrong, 100% wrong, because if there's evidence that there are hundreds of men still in Vietnam and hundreds in Laos and North Korea, we know that North Korea's got hundreds of them, then he should come out publicly and say something, but he's not going to do it. He walked away from it. He does not want anything to do with it. We tried to talk to him. He just walked away.
So, Ed, is there anybody in your world that would line up with this besides yourself and Patty?
I don't know. I haven't made the approach. I'm not an ideator on this. I don't have much success in drumming up support in our favorite city.
Well, you know who I'm thinking of, or maybe you don't, but who's I'm thinking of is Eileen Proctor. Maybe she'd help.
Well, I think she'd certainly be willing. You might talk to her about it.
Yeah, I will talk to her about it.
Who's she?
Eileen Proctor is an incredibly astute, very powerful woman that puts together political conversations, lets people know about events that are happening, introduces candidates, sets up all kinds of parties for people. She has a thing called the Great Mind Series. I've gotten to meet Gore Vidal and some other very interesting, Ambassador Tom Wilson, some very interesting people through the projects and things that she puts together. And what I'm thinking of is that maybe she's the person to help here, because Ed, you know, and Bob, it's clear that the figures are, I want to say, unbelievable is like such a small word for the, it's worse than unbelievable, because the level of disregard for human life, and like, as you were saying, Ed, leaving no man behind, it's almost like the code of silence that's over this thing. And where do you puncture it, or where do you move?
Well, you know, 1996, Val. In 1996, the North Korean government, and I have it right in front of me, the North Korean government offered us 11 American prisoners from the Korean War. And the National Security Office at the White House, you know who they are, they refused. They said, we're not going to negotiate for any prisoners of war. And the answer is, they have never, ever negotiated for one prisoner of war in the history of this country. And that goes all the way back to World War One. How come every other...
So that's, the history of this country is not World War One.
No, I'm saying it goes all the way back to World War One when we left prisoners after World War One.
It was prior to World War One where we actually did take care of our men.
Oh, yeah, right. It goes all the way back before then.
So the origins of this country are what Ed was pointing to before, leave no one behind.
That's a lie. Total lie. We left thousands and thousands of American prisoners ready to come home now, but never got them back. They stayed there. Honestly, yeah, I'm not kidding. It's a true story. I've been doing it for 57 years. I don't know. I fought this government for 57 years, and they still haven't done what they're supposed to do.
I actually know four billionaires. I'm wondering if one of them would go for this.
Well, he's got more money than I got, that's for sure.
Well, he's certainly more than I do, but what I'm thinking is that they negotiate. One of the guys actually is oil and gas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he negotiates with countries all over the world. I'm actually going to ask him about this. I don't feel it's fair to reveal his position or stature right now in the radio show. But it's like, let's each one of us, as we're here, take a pause and look into our lives and see. One of the things we were talking about was, do we have media connections? I can think of a couple of media guys right off the bat that I would be willing to call about this. Ed, You like are hooked up like God. I mean, you have what, 7 Emmys? Everybody must be in love with you.
Yeah, but I'm a pain in the ass to most of them.
But you were the head of the Screen Actors Guild, man. You got to have some connections.
I know. They no longer fly freely.
They no longer the connections. Whether they got like a little
just
bit.
Just like the flag doesn't.
Yeah.
That's true. And Val, one more thing. In 1987, Ed knows this because he saw it on the film, the Missing Presumed Dead film. In 87, I had introduced Reverend Jackson, who was running for president, to the ambassador of North Korea, Pat Gilgan, who just went back to North Korea, and I've known him for 21 years. And I introduced Jackson to him, and Jackson asked him, he says, do you have any live Americans from the Korean War in your country? And the ambassador said, yes, I do. We do. And Jackson said, well, I'll come over there, and we'll discuss it on a humanitarian issue. Not politically, but a humanitarian issue. So he says, I'll call the State Department and talk to Jim Baker. I said, there goes the trip. So he called the State Department, and Jim Baker got on the phone. He said, we're going to North Korea to talk about prisoners of war. And the next day, I got a phone call from the Rainbow Coalition, telling me the trip was off. The State Department put sanctions on our travel. That's just one little item.
So Jackson Brown was willing to back you?
No, Jackson, Reverend Jackson.
Oh, Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Jesse, who was running for
president. Okay, well, you know, Jackson Brown is probably a person who would back you as well.
I don't even know him.
He's a pretty outspoken musician and gets behind the right
cause. He's a wonderful, wonderful person.
I never met him. I met Ed Asner. That's the only one I ever met. But
you can do better.
I met Jackson Brown for about 2 minutes at a concert about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I just really liked the man. I thought that he stood for a lot of good things. You know, maybe we can do something. Maybe we can do something with the music industry or something like that.
Well, that would be nice, too. But, you know, I'm getting tired. Ed is getting tired. We're all getting old, aren't we?
We're starting to dodder.
No. You're not. Didn't you get your knee fixed, for God's sake? You ought to be stronger than ever.
I didn't get my knee fixed, so I guess I'm not as strong as ever.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I thought you were, like, now an animal.
No. Yeah. Well, it all depends what position I'm in.
There you go. See, I knew. I'm telling you, the man has just got amazing stamina.
Well, we're the same age, you know, Val.
You and Ed?
Oh, yeah.
So are you going to tell us how old you are?
I'm 79.
79. I have to tell you, so this has taken up 55 years of your life.
Right. 7 days a week.
But he's in better shape by doing it than I am.
I don't know. My head's all right. It's my body that's slowed down.
Well, we're actually going to take a break, and we're going to do diamond alignment, and then you're going to get a chance to see if we can get you a little bit of divine transmission and energy through the airwaves here. And while we're doing the diamond alignment, I'm inviting you to actually send me an email at val@wakinguponamerica.com if you have any good ideas on what we can do, or if you know anybody or anything of that nature. Shoot over an email, because we want to get these guys home, and enough is enough. So take it away, Hector.
We live in a world that is more alive with possibility than ever before in history. Yet it is easy to get lost in the confusion and chaos of such an accelerated world. How do we stay connected and aligned with the unlimited potential that lies within us and soar in these exciting yet challenging times? Diamond Alignment, a sacred technology for the 21st century, offers high-speed connection and alignment with this divine power within, both convenient and profound. The 6-minute multi-sensory diamond experience delivered via the internet clears your mind, relaxes your body, and creates inner peace no matter what is going on around you. The diamond alignment experience effortlessly keeps you charged with joy and equanimity and greater focus and clarity throughout your day. Experience the expansive energy of diamond alignment. You activate the unlimited wealth and potential within you.
They're free, And check out that video page. I get some very interesting videos sent to me, and I'm putting it on the page. There's a 12-year-old one I like there, the 12-year-old lecturing the planet adults on how we're not taking care of the environment and not leaving them much of a future. And with a little bit of luck, we'll have one with Ed Asner on there soon doing a PSA for bringing our guys home. And, you know, we may not be able to go to the major networks and stuff, guys, but there's a lot of independent people around doing a lot of outrageous stuff. One of my friends right now is beginning to pick up radio licenses. And what he plans on doing with that is creating a radio network, and you can do that at a pretty reasonable rate. So just because Clear Channel owns a lot of the radio stations and actually controls the content, which is why you don't get any airplay, guys, because they say they won't even let Clear Channel at one time, I don't know if it's true anymore, wouldn't even let Beatles songs be played. You know, Let There Be Peace? That was a song that was not to be played on any Clear Channel station. So that's one of the reasons why I love Voice America and Rich Kepler, who actually put together this concept of people dialoguing, because the guy is just amazing in what he just basically says. I created radio so that people could have conversations. And so he does, and this program is actually heard all over the world. I've actually gotten emails from Australia and Spain and a couple from England and things like that. It's actually replayed at midnight so that people in different parts of the world can pick it up. And you can go to our website at wakingupinamerica.com and just click on the past shows, and you'll be able to download it. We're making all this available to you, circulated around, and if you know of anybody that would like to sponsor this show, we'd love to have your sponsorship. The more sponsors we get, the more listeners we get. It's a pretty good thing going on there. So we're on the air with Ed Asmer and Bob Dumas. We're talking about Roger Dumas, who's been stuck in Korea against his will since 1950. Well, I know the war ended in 53, Bob, but
wasn't
he captured before that?
Yeah, 1950, November 4.
Oh, so he's been there.
Same day as the election coming up. He was captain on the same day, November 4.
Well, maybe we should just send Sarah Palin over there with her rifle.
Yeah, why not?
Have her take on the Koreans. That'd be interesting. She can get herself elected for that, I'm sure.
I know.
She's ready to go. That's what she says.
Yeah. But you know, Val, what gets me is that England, we have English prisoners of war in Korea also, from Korean War. We had 21 nations involved.
Still, of all the nations?
Yeah, 21 nations fought with us in Korea. And we still have prisoners there from all these nations in North Korea. And the collective, what they call the political prison camps, the mining area camps, the collective farm camps, the teaching English in Pyongyang University, that's how the North Koreans learned English when they came over here from our own men all those years. And the British have been negotiating for the prisoners with North Korea, so I don't know how many they got back, but they've been negotiating right along. South Korea just negotiated for some prisoners in the past year or so with North Korea. We're the only ones that don't.
Have either of you ever been to Korea?
I fought in Korea, but I never been back. The North Koreans wanted me to go, but every time I do go, State Department puts a clamp on it.
Do you have to tell them you're going?
Well, you don't have to tell them, but you got to get a visa, and they know everything that's going on in China, in Beijing.
I fought the Korean War in France.
Say more about that.
Yeah, but he's still part of the war. Even though he was in France, he's still part of the war.
Yeah, what were you doing in France?
I was stationed there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We came home the same time.
Well, that was, mon cher, that was such a good idea.
It was an excellent idea. I couldn't have thanked my government more.
Right.
I know. I think, wow. You know,
it was tough duty in France. They really didn't like us.
No, they still don't.
Well, maybe it's the American fries that got him turned off. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, when I went to the State of the World Conference in Ed in 2005, every country that got up to speak at the Nobel Laureates Conference had a comment to make about Americans and our country, and that was not the case 10 years before.
No, of course not.
So it's like we've really slipped. I mean, this is just one indication of how much we have slipped, and I know that you're tired. I'm tired, too, and I know a lot of people are. And I'm just going to say at this time, you know, I thank you for Monavie and the other things that I'm taking, the Max products, because they've actually given me the energy to continue this conversation.
Good for you. I'm glad you did.
Well, I
think that you could continue a conversation if you were starving to death.
Yeah, well, you haven't seen me when I'm really, when I get really low, and I have to. There's been more replays on Waking Up in America in this 21st year than there ever were in the entire past, because it's just to sit here and put together the conversations and enjoy the information and the brilliance of the conversations that we have and the different things that we learn and that our small circle does, and then to watch it get stonewalled all over the place, mm-hmm. It's fatiguing.
It is. It is.
You know, how much we've done with the 9/11 conversation, and that people still have a doubt.
Mm.
Yeah.
That they think that was Osama bin Laden's work. I mean, yeah.
Hey, we began a war in Iraq on totally false information, supplied, created, manufactured information. Is it any wonder our government, in the wrong hands, can achieve any amount of duplicity?
None.
Well, and the problem that I'm looking at, and maybe you're looking at it too, Bob.
Yeah.
The Republicans are so darn charismatic, and they don't represent the Republicans. I mean, I happen to know intelligent Republicans who don't go for any of the stuff that the Republican Party is saying right now.
I know them too.
But you know that's too bad, because if they keep hanging out with their fellow Republicans whom we despise, they're going to be tarred with that same brush. How long do we have to put up with that?
I don't know, but you know, I have to tell you, my favorite president was always Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty Republican.
Why not?
Paul.
Mm-hmm.
They've been coasting on Lincoln's body ever since.
Well, you know, what did you think of Eisenhower?
I like him.
Wasn't he a Republican?
Yeah.
So we got.
What were his last words?
Don't trust Republicans.
Beware the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? You know, our freeways came from the military-industrial complex, don't you?
No, I don't know that.
Okay, so when Ike was
over. You mean like Napoleon decided to make big highways so he could move his troops easily?
Nah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's right.
Yeah.
When Eisenhower was in Europe, he saw what the Germans had created with the Autobahn and stuff and how easy.
See what the Germans did with their highways.
Exactly. They turned them into 120-mile-an-hour highways. And so when he came home, he thought it was a pretty good idea and we could move goods and soldiers. So he was really big behind the creation of the freeway system. And now, I think, in a way, even though I see the advantage of a freeway system, it's totally disconnected me from my culture. Because I'm always whizzing past cities that I never see.
Yeah,
I used to drive through them. I used to go, oh, wow. And now it's like you find things by surprise because you had to get off the driveway and you go, oh, that's cool. I never knew that existed. Because we're just driving over the surface of everything. And I think the freeways are actually a good kind of commentary on how we're doing our country. We're just skittling around on the surface, not getting in there too deep, you know, not ruffling up anything. Heaven forbid we should talk about Korean War vets that have been there for 55 to 58 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is outrageous.
I know it is. It has been for 50 years.
Yeah, and here these guys are at 79. God, Ed, what do you say to yourself in the morning so you can get up and do one more day of this crap?
Let me give you an example. 4 months ago, I got a call from 48 Hours in New York, and the producer called me, and she says, we'd like to do this story because it's the most important story we've ever heard of, American prisoners in North Korea. I said, fine, this is the third time you called me in the last 3 years, and you never did it yet. So she turned around and says, well, I'll talk to my other producer that's higher than her. I never heard another word. That was the end of it.
Yeah, who's shutting him up, Ed?
Somebody's shutting him up.
Well, the government is. The government... It's, I mean, look at your 9/11. I mean, I hate to go back to keep going back on this program to 9/11.
Hey, if that's
there are other things to talk about, particularly the prisoners. But look at the testimony they took in the 9/11 commission and what they didn't take. Look at the people that they recorded. Who knows what was on the flight recorders? Does any citizen in the United States know what was on the flight recorders?
Well, you know what they were...
Knows what was on the TV cameras from all the stores surrounding the Pentagon. Who has seen that footage? Nobody.
I actually saw a little bit of it.
Where?
I was trying to remember where. It was on the Internet. I saw a little bit of footage where this plane was supposed to hit, and the grass wasn't even scruffed up.
Okay, so what you saw was highly questionable already.
Yeah, it couldn't be. What they said had happened couldn't be. It couldn't have happened that way.
Well, what I am really interested in now is if Kim Il-jung, or whatever his name is, is sick or dying, is it possible that with the change in that administration, if he dies or if somebody else takes over, that some better moves might be made by our government to have our government move at that time to see if some ameliorating negotiations can take place between the two.
But since we have never negotiated for prisoners, we would have to actually get that frame of mind changed. We would have to create some kind of an uproar.
Yeah. I think with Bob talking about that the British have done it, that the other countries have done it, that South Korea has done it, that a proper representative showing that this has been going on, and since we had the most massive troops over there of any of the others, that it's proof positive that our guys have to be prisoners, and have Bob present his evidence of the testimony that he got recently, I don't know how our country can possibly try to deny.
Well, you would have to actually get it put out somewhere besides what we're doing here. We're getting to between 60 and 100,000 people, okay? That's a pittance of what I think is going to be required to do this. But, Bob, I'm going to give you an assignment and have somebody help you edit it. Maybe you can talk to Pete. Pay him some small amount to do it, and edit this down so that you've got the punch that you want, and then we'll circulate it.
That's fine.
Perhaps even buy like a press list or something of that nature.
Because,
I don't know, maybe Stardubs would even circulate it.
I'll tell you.
They charge like $50 for 200,000 emails.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, these guys are just really incredible. They have done such wonders for different things. I don't know that they tend to normally do political stuff like this, but I could talk to Raw about whether he'd be willing to do that, and I bet he would, because the guy's just a real winner.
It's pretty soon it's going to be an exercise in futility. It would be nice to bring back some old men from Korea.
Yeah.
If only to show that our government had been heedless.
Yeah, because the youngest one has got to be in his 70s.
My brother just turned 76.
76.
And when he saw him last year, now this is a true story. This is no fiction, and the government knows it, because I've been on the phone with them the past few weeks about this. And they said he's credible. The man that told him all this about my brother is credible. Because my brother told me even about a post office box 60 years ago, and that post office doesn't exist anymore. The post office box was 170. Only him and I would know that. And this is what he gave me. He gave me all the information he gave him. He said he's walking with a cane. He works in the mines 12 hours a day. They all work 12 hours a day, and then they go back to work in the morning again. Women, men, it doesn't make any difference who you are or what you are. There's foreigners in there from Europe. There's Americans. There's South Koreans. There's every nationality you can think of.
Are they all men, or do we have any women?
No. Many, many women. Many women. South Korean women, North Korean, those that don't behave, that are against their government like I am, to get my brother home. They throw them in political prison camp.
I was in Korea in 1987, and when the airplane landed, I was shocked because in my own mind, it was like years before the war had happened, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's the same way now. Along the 38th parallel, which is where the planes land,
right?
There's all the machine gun turrets.
Right. Been there since 53.
So if you want to go get really in touch with this, just go land in this airport at Seoul, and you will totally get the experience of, it gives you a chill. It was like very interesting because we were discussing it on the plane before we landed. You know, it was like people were commenting, like, oh my God, it's like you don't realize that it's still going on. And that was 21 years ago that we I didn't realize it was still going on.
Right.
And then when Patty called me, Patty Egan, who gives Ed just terrific support, she called, and then I got the conversation with Bob, and it was like, it was just, I thought it was handled. It's not handled, folks.
I want to tell you that this guy you've got on, this Bob Dumas, is one unbelievable, phenomenal individual who carried on this battle all these years to have tried to buck the establishment, to try to appeal to the hearts and minds of his fellow countrymen, particularly those in power, and to under to have undergone the rejection he has constantly undergone for his brother primarily, but for all those with his brother. This is a phenomenal, and to go on working at a job all his life, you've got a phenomenal individual here.
Thank you.
That, that's what America is supposed to be made of.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And that's what we are made of.
Thank you for those kind words, Edward.
Well, they're true.
Well, it's, I have never stopped 7 days a week. I don't know how long I can go. I'm going to go till I promised my mother in 1953 that I would get him home one way or the other.
Is but your mom still alive?
My mom died in 1958, and my father died in 1956. But that's a promise I made, and I kept the promise. I never gave up.
Do you think it was the absence of Robert?
A what?
Your brother's name was Robert or Roger?
Roger.
You think the absence of Roger is part of why they died?
I think it hurt my mother more, I think. My father, too, but her more. Because I was the 20th of the family, and he was the 21st child.
The what?
I was the 20th child. He was the 21st child. My mother had 21 children.
Your mother had 21 children? Ed, did you know this?
Well, we were all born.
I don't think so.
Gets an award.
Most of those were born on a reservation in St. Regis in Canada from the Mohawk tribe.
So you're part Indian?
Part Indian, yeah, half Indian.
So maybe we have to give you part of it. We have to give the Indian.
All I need is my government to do something that they've never done.
Yeah, but Indians know how to be
president. That's probably why they haven't done anything, because with this country's record, why bring back Indians?
Right. Leave them there.
Right.
Been that way all these years anyway, so why change now? But
well, see, the problem is, too, because your name is Dumas, which sounds French, so French Indian, you're in major trouble.
Yeah, I am in trouble all the time. Every day of the week.
God, what are we going to do with you?
I don't know. I guess I've just stayed away like the good soldiers always do.
No. You're not going to stay away.
What else can you do? You know? But I must tell you, though, the main thing to me is that we have never, ever in the history of this country negotiated for anyone in the history of this country. And that's a crime to humanity. And John McCain said the human rights of the Moroccan soldiers were violated for 30 years. Or more because they were held prisoner. But he has never said anything about our men being held all these years if their human rights have been violated. I guess not. Ed has a number. Eddie has a number. I have a number. Serial number from the military. And we never forget those numbers. Do we, Ed?
No.
Never forget it.
550-150-119.
And mine's 112-050-98.
I bet they're way bigger now, huh?
Oh, yeah. They keep adding on. I keep betting on. I got my young son went to 3 tours in Iraq, and just my wife goes crazy because he's the same thing as my brother. He's left-handed, same height. They write the same. The handwriting's all the same. And every time he goes off, you never know. You know what comes around comes around.
So how many children do you have, Bob?
We have 5: 3 boys and 2 girls. All professionals, all grown and professional. All of them.
So out of the 5, one was a soldier?
One is in Iraq, and the other, my son-in-law just retired from the Air Force for 20 years.
Huh. So, Ed, you have 2 kids, don't you?
Me?
Yeah.
I've got 4.
4? Are any of those military kids?
What's that?
Did any of your kids go into the military?
No.
Are they boys or girls, Ed? I haven't asked you.
2 and 2.
2 and 2. Great.
My youngest is 21, and he certainly won't be going. And
I hope he don't.
The oldest, fortunately, didn't have to.
I'm glad of that. I'm really glad. Because what I've seen in my 57 years is a crime to humanity.
Well, on top of it, weren't all of these guys drafted, or most of them?
in Korea, there were a lot of draftees in Korea in World War II, but Vietnam, there were a lot of, I don't know, Ed, did they draft in Vietnam at all?
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
So they drafted in Vietnam, too.
See, I think that adds a double emphasis to it. When your government drafts you, you don't go by choice. I mean, not saying that it's not good that they didn't bring back.
But the draft in Vietnam was truly a poor man's draft.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe that's one of the reasons why people are being ignored, because the quotes aren't worth it or something.
Well, let me tell you, Val. I'm going to tell you right now that we're in Afghanistan for a long time. We're in Iraq for a long time. And if the wrong guy gets in office this time, and then if he gets in there, we're going to be there for a long, long, long time. And you may even see the draft.
Well, I don't, you know, Ed, you and I have talked in the past. It seems like 82% of the people disapprove of our government, but it doesn't seem to matter.
No, they still vote.
Oh, they're sheep.
Yeah, but they're not all sheep.
Yeah,
12%
sheep.
Of the people are running this country.
With the quality of the media that our people are exposed to today, the half-truth they're given, the lack of truth, they're easily guided, easily motivated, like the war in Iraq was easily motivated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it can happen again, and it will happen again, unless there is a rebirth of democracy. For instance, I myself would love a bill passed in this country, but they'd be too afraid to do it, of national service. You either go in the service or you perform alternative service, you know, with either VISTA or Peace Corps or wherever.
I like that a lot, actually.
Me too.
Keep them out of college for 2 years. Let them come back as more mature individuals.
Yeah.
Get them away from mommy and daddy. Let them mix with their fellow citizens and learn what this country is made of.
Yeah, well, they're global citizens, too.
And the whistles that would be blown on the bureaucracy that they would be assigned to would be so healthy for this country, because they'd come home and they'd tell mom and dad what they had seen and what was wrong, and perhaps even work to correct it. So national service is properly done, but the bureaucrats are afraid of it.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, the mere fact that President Bush wasn't impeached is a perfect indication of the severity of where our country has gone. And we thought we had two parties, Democrats and Republicans, but it seems that we have Republicans and Demo reps.
Yeah, we got an Irish stew.
Yeah, an Irish, not, please, I think Irish stew is way better than what's going on here.
Well, I'm sure it doesn't stink.
Ask the Irish to forgive you for that one.
Forgive me, Irish.
But this thing about what's going on, it just makes you wonder, okay, because we talk about the government, but the more I find out is that there's about 10 or 12 families that are basically running the world. And I got some disturbing information this week that Ike and Gustav may have been generated hurricanes.
What?
What they were saying was when the Weather Service examined how the hurricanes landed and how they went, that it was more the way a generated hurricane would be, that they didn't do what hurricanes do. There's something about altitude and things of that nature that in hurricanes, and so it's like, I don't know that Armageddon, quotes, or whatever people are referring to it as, is even, you know, a thing that's really real. I think what's really real is that there's a group of people that would like to have us all as slaves. Or, because that's what we've done. We've given our soldiers to these countries as their personal slaves.
That's
55
right.
years, his brother has been working 12 hours a day for the Koreans.
Yeah, you're right. 100% correct.
That's slavery to me.
And they don't get paid. They don't even get paid.
They probably get fed just enough to keep going.
One meal a day, what he told me, the businessman.
Did he tell you how much your brother weighed at this point?
Yeah, he's down to about 115 pounds. About 115.
Jesus Christ. Who was this man, Bob?
His name is, he's an Iraqi American national, Iraqi. He spoke to the government 2 weeks ago. He called the Pentagon, had a long talk with them. And then the Pentagon called me and asked me if I talked to this gentleman. I said, yeah, he called me twice, told me everything about my brother and the other men that he met and talked to. He says he almost fell over backwards when they told him who they were. He said, you can't be Americans. America, that's 57 years ago. And they said, well, we're still here. The government never came for them, so what are they supposed to do? That's what he said to the
government. Well, when I was reading the documents, it said something about how, like, 21 had decided that they wanted to stay or something.
Oh, that
like
was
that.
After the war. That's a long time ago. They're all dead today.
Yeah.
They're all
but
dead
that's
today.
It. Only the point I wanted to make
yeah.
is that only 21 of these guys actually wanted to be there. The other 3 or 4,000
wanted to come home.
Wanted to come home.
Yeah.
Hey, sounds like the music is playing.
This is for all.
It is. What can the audience do? Act or you will be acted upon. Do something to help these soldiers. I don't care who you know or where you find them. Just start talking about it and saying that it's an outrage and see what you can do. This program has been brought to you by the Golden Hearts Foundation in association with Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, KoningCompany.com, Mona V, Max GXL, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, Nathan Chad, Rick Kepler, and Jeff Spinard, and the team at Voice America, to Bent Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. You can hear that right now. And next week, invite a friend to listen and write us at WakingUpVal at WakingUpInAmerica.com. And remember, Sidious Altius Fortius. And hey, Bob Dumas and Ed Asner, you rock.
Thank you, Val. And Ed, you owe me a letter.
Consider this the equivalent.
Okay.
All right, I'll talk to you, Bob.
All right, love you too, Ed.
Lots of love.
Take care,
thanks,
sweetie.
Val.
Thank you.
Thank you, Val.
Hear the music, feel the dance. Hear the music, feel.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.